harb, the house of the infidel or the house of war, they are commanded to make friends with their enemies. But once it goes to the Dar al-Islam, the house of Islam, and they gain the upper hand, then they are commanded to live by the latter verses. That's why you see two faces of Islam. That's why you see in Nigeria, a friend of mine in Nigeria who lived with Muslims in their neighborhood, played soccer together, they were best friends. But when Islam gained the upper hand, those same Muslims came and burned his house down. Because they would not, his family would not convert to Islam. They were run out of their neighborhood and their house was burned down. You go, well, which Islam is it, folks? It's both. The early verses to suck us in, the latter verses when they gain the upper hand. Does that make sense? This is a latter verse. There is no common love of neighbor in Islam when they gain the upper hand. How about the fact that Islam denies Isaac as a legitimate seed? I already covered that with you. Here, of course, is the verse from Genesis that said Isaac was a legitimate seed. That's huge, right? That they say Ishmael was a legitimate seed. And lastly, I've saved the best for last, not really. Islam denies that Jesus Christ is going to return as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Remember how I said that they believe Jesus went up to heaven? Or Esau? Well, they believe that he's going to return, but he's not going to return by himself. He's going to return as a second in command. You go, well, who's first in command? The Mahdi. Anybody hear about the Mahdi? Now, Shiite Muslims will say 12th Imam. The Sunnis will believe, both believe in the Mahdi. The Mahdi is a figure that for them is the Messiah. In fact, in eschatology in Islam, if you look at their eschatology, they believe the Mahdi will come in. Now, pay attention, please, really quick. Okay, you're paying attention. I'm going to burst the bubble of some people here in their eschatology worldview, just kind of throwing out there, so think about it. They believe the Mahdi will come and usher in a seven-year period of peace. And that at some point during that, just like Muhammad did, he'll break that peace treaty and he will then establish Islam. You go, And Revelation talks about the beheading of the saints. Islam is an antichrist spirit. Just think. But here's what it says in the hadith. Sahih al-Bukhari is one of the hadith. These are the extracurricular books that are written about the Prophet of Islam. Just really quick, I got to get you to understand this. The Quran is one source. Then they have the hadith and the sirah. That's called the sunnah. The hadiths and the sirah are basically the biography of Muhammad. It's what he did, what he said, how he acted, how he behaved. 86% of all of the texts of Islam is about Muhammad. Why? Because nobody else got the revelation. It's on him. You either believe Muhammad or you don't. There's no middle ground. You got to either believe he is who he is or you got to believe that he was demon-possessed. I personally believe what he believed. He was demon-possessed. So, 86%. Got it? Now, the hadiths are extra, but Muslims are commanded in over 93 verses in the Quran, they're commanded to imitate the Prophet. What he did, they're supposed to follow. That's why when people say ISIS is not Islamic, you go, what are you on? I was going to say something else, I apologize. What are you on? What lie are you feeding us? Because here's the thing, they're supposed to imitate Muhammad. So you go, well, what is this Esau going to do? Esau is going to return. What is he going to do? Muhammad himself said, that means Allah's apostle, that's Muhammad, said, the hour will not be established until the son of Maryam descends among you as a just ruler. Number one on his agenda is going to break the cross. You go, why on earth would Jesus break the cross? Remember, it didn't happen according to Islam. Got it? Number two, he's going to kill the pigs. Now, some say, that means these filthy animals. No, it doesn't. That's talking about who? The Jews. They're referred to as apes, monkeys, pigs in the Quran, particularly in the latter verses. Remember, Muhammad himself beheaded and supervised the beheadings of the Banu Qurayzah, 600 to 900 Jews. That alone, to me, disqualifies him as a prophet. He's going to kill the pigs, and then he's going to abolish the jizya, that tax that non-Muslims must pay if they want to be protected. You go, really? Really? Because remember, they believe that Isa is a Muslim, and Isa is a prophet of Islam. So is it the same Jesus? Not only is it not the same Jesus, remember, you now know, it is the absolute opposite. It is the counterfeit. It is the one who denies the true Jesus. Now, I want to just quickly, it's the last thing I'm going to cover tonight. Really quick, we're going to go through this, and there's more information on this in the DVD. But I want you to understand, and I keep saying it over and over again, I can't tell you, this isn't just in interfaith churches anymore, folks. This is the predominant movement in missions. First of all, in missions, we see several groups that are promoting the idea of the common word dialogue, the idea of bridge building, the idea of Allah is Jehovah, groups like Hub Communities. That's Frontiers. They're doing Bible studies. They're encouraging Christians to do Bible studies with Muslims. Now, I don't have a problem with Muslims and Christians getting together and studying the Bible. But they're not studying the Bible. They're studying the Quran and the Bible, and they're trying to find common ground. The problem is most Christians who get into this are so uneducated about the Quran that if the Muslim says to them, hey, this is what the Quran says, they're going to believe it. Number two, we see groups like the Crescent Project or the Camel Method. These are all bridge building. Even if they bring them to the Bible, then it's a corrupted version of the Bible that has Allah in it. We see groups like Rick Warren's church, Saddleback. One of his pastors promoting a document called the Kingsway document. This goes hand in hand with the Common Word document, the idea of spiritual reconciliation. We see now many Arab Christians overseas who are coming to American churches and saying, we can reconcile, we can have peace. It's not possible. The Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, right, you cannot sit at the table of the Lord and the table of demons at the same time. How can God have anything to do with what's evil and demonic and what denies him? We got to move on. How about this? Anybody heard of the insider movement? This is the predominant view that is being pushed in missions. The idea that Muslims can accept Jesus as Savior, but for a time, stay in their Muslim community, tell their family they're Muslim, go to the mosque, do their prayers, don't rock the boat, don't tell anybody, because after all, we don't want you to be unduly persecuted. You go, wow, I was a fool. Because you see, when I became a Christian, immediately I knew I'm an apostate. I've left Islam. I deserve, according to the prophet of Islam, I deserve the death penalty. And 3 days into being a Christian, I was so excited about my faith that I told my parents, and my dad disowned me. I'm so grateful to God that my dad disowned me. Because on day three, God as my father became real to me. And these missionaries are going and saying, we want to make sure that Muslims aren't persecuted. Stay in for a while. Lie to your family. Now, they don't call it lying. They call it strategy. It's a great strategy. God has given us a new strategy. Here's how we're going to reach Muslims. Become a Muslim or follow Jesus. Stay as a Muslim for a while. Now, I don't have a problem if someone in a Muslim country that is in heavy persecution becomes a Christian and then goes underground. I get that. That happens in Iran all the time. They become a Christian, they got to go underground, because if they don't, their family's going to probably kill them. But they go underground for a while, they get discipled, they get stronger, then they come out. They never go back and tell their family they're still a Muslim. Or God forbid, go do their daily prayers where they're praying in their daily prayers, Allah has no son. I talked to a missionary about 2 weeks ago from Indonesia, who's a great brother in the Lord. And he said, do you know, Sharam, the statistics are bearing out now that over 85% of these so-called converts are now going back to Islam. In the DVD, there's a documentary that I highlight called Half Devil, Half Child. A friend of mine who I know, he's got a ministry called I Squared. They did a documentary in Bangladesh, this documentary. And all it does is it follows the insider movement and the corrupted Bibles. And it shows you how confused these so-called converts are. We got to move on. We're running out of time. Here's one that's even worse than the insider movement. Messianic Muslims. You go, excuse me? This is the idea that you can be both Muslim and Christian at the same time. All you got to do is just believe in Jesus. And this is not temporary. This is permanent. This is also referred to as the common path. Now, we have a one-minute video. Can we just quickly show that video as we're wrapping up here? We're almost done, folks. Please be patient. Are you ready for the audio? Tell me if you have a problem with this video.
So let's say this circle represents the kingdom of God. Or in Arabic, you could say Malakut Allah. Now, if this circle represents Christians, this circle represents Muslims, What's happened for so many years is that Christians have been telling Muslims, you've got to come over into our circle, become a Christian. That's the only way you can come into the kingdom of God. Or Muslims have been saying, hey, come over here, you've got to become a Muslim. That's how you really know God and are able to move in the right direction. But really, those things aren't the issue. The real issue is how can we both move into the kingdom of God and find the straight path to God? That is the question.
Any problems? Notice, first of all, he called it Malakut Allah, the King of Allah. You know, for years we've been saying this weird notion that you got to become a Christian to come into the kingdom of heaven. But that's all wrong. Let me say this, and you know, tonight I've told you our ministry, we're committed to speak the truth in love. You know that I don't believe in political correctness. This is not only heresy. The majority of emergent church leaders are peddling this. They are driving the argument now in the missions community. In missions, they believe in a C1 through C6 scale. C1 to C3 is accepted missional practice, meaning when you church plant in Muslim countries or in a foreign country, you can bring some cultural elements in, but not spiritual elements. When you get into C4, C5, that's the insider movement. And when you get into C6, it's the Muslim, Messianic Muslim. This is pure heresy. And they're peddling it as new strategy. God has given us new strategy for reaching Muslims. You don't even need to become a Christian. Forget all that Christianity stuff. You can find the straight path. Well, folks, you know what Muslims pray every day in their daily prayers? Allah, show us the straight path. The exact wording. And these missionaries, so-called missionaries, come along. And forgive me, I'm not trying to malign. There are some amazing missionaries out there. I know missionaries who've laid their lives down. I know missionaries that are putting their lives on the line every day. I have deep respect. I was a missions pastor myself for 2.5 years, and I love missionaries. These aren't missionaries. This is heresy. They're missionaries for the wrong side. Maybe you could say it that way. This is heresy. And we got to call it out as such. By the way, that church in Tacoma, that pastor presented this kingdom circles to his leadership team. They didn't even know what it was until they came to one of my presentations and saw this video and went, wow, that's what we were watching? You see the problem? We perish for a lack of knowledge, and we don't know the truth. The other last thing that I got to cover with you is the Bible translations. Unfortunately, this is happening more and more. Now, Wycliffe was called to the carpet on this. I know great people in Wycliffe. I'm not trying to say Wycliffe has a big job. I mean, they translate in many, many countries, right? But they were specifically caught. Again, my friend Josh Lingle several years ago wrote an open letter because he tried to confront them. They denied they were doing it. He wrote an open letter, called them out. They still denied it. The Assemblies of God churches, 13,000 plus churches, boycotted them. Then Wycliffe paid attention. They submitted themselves to an international panel. That panel made 10 recommendations last year. The first four were on the issue of what's called contextualization. What's contextualization? They were taking the term Father, our Heavenly Father, out of the Bible and putting Allah in its place. They were taking the term Son of God out of the Bible and putting either Messiah or omitting it altogether. One, because we don't want to offend Muslims. Two, because they don't understand, supposedly. Now remember, what do Muslims pray every day in their daily prayers? Allah is not a father. Allah is not a son. What do we do as missionaries and Bible translators? Come along and give them a Bible that proves their point. What does the Quran teach about the Bible? It's corrupt. We Christians shouldn't say that God is three, right? We Christians shouldn't say there's a Trinity. We shouldn't say God is Father, God is Son. What do the Bible translators do? They come along and say, you're right, Muslim. You understand the gravity and the scope. Now, I've had people who come after me and say, well, you're maligning Wycliffe. No, I'm not. I'm glad they submitted to the recommendations, but to this day, they have not admitted that they were doing this. Why? If we make a mistake, let's come out and admit it. No problem. I get it. They translate many countries. But you see, the in-country missionaries are telling groups like Wycliffe, stop it. We don't need your corrupted Bibles. We can explain the gospel. We can explain to the Muslim that God is Father, God is Son. And if you were like me, that was welcome news, even though I didn't understand it at first, but I began to understand that I have a heavenly Father. What are we? What gospel are we giving them? But a corrupted gospel. So I want to close here. What do we do? First of all, we got to wake up. Now, I've been saying to America for the last 5 years, I've been traveling around this country, wake up. My turn now is, I believe, I got to say to the church, church, wake up. People of God, wake up. Christians, wake up. Islam is breaching this nation. Our national security, our government, our school, our media, our churches. One, because of compromise. Two, because we've lost the watchman on the wall. We don't have the watchmen who are calling out. And today, if they call out, they're attacked. Well, doesn't that sound like the prophets of old? We must speak the truth in love. We must stop compromising God's word. It's not an option, folks. It's not an option. We're not going to win people by a false gospel. We're not going to win people by a comfortable gospel, particularly Muslims. If they're devout, if they come from a Muslim family, they must count the cost, because there's going to be rough roads ahead of them. But once they count the cost and they come into the kingdom, I promise you, those Muslims will be some of the most on-fire Christians you've ever met, if we give them the proper gospel and trust the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the gospel is offensive. Amen? To some, it's a cornerstone. To some, it's a stumbling block. It's not up to you and me to decide who gets what. We preach it, we teach it, we live it. God decides who it will be a stumbling block to and who it will be a cornerstone to. And by the way, I will tell you this. The majority of Muslims, even if they are cultural, will be offended by the gospel, as I was. But I realized once I became a Christian, that wasn't an offense. It was just the sword of the Spirit piercing my heart, opening my heart to the truth, where the Lord showed me, Sharam, you know one is true and one is a lie. Choose. And I chose to follow him. Praise God. He gets all the glory for it. Pray for the fear of the Lord to fall on God's people. Why do I say that? I see a lot of fear of man in the church, folks. We need the fear of the Lord again. We need great courage. We need great boldness. And may I even say, may I venture, if you don't mind. See, I talked to some house church leaders in Iran. Hines, I talked to house church leaders in Iran who say this to me. They say, Sharam, we're praying for America. I go, thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you for praying for America. America needs it. I go, what are you praying for America? They said, we don't really want to tell you. I said, no, come on. You can't do that to me. Please. Really? You want to know? I really want to know. You really want to know? I really want to know. We're praying that the American church would go through persecution, because we see a weak church in America. Whew. I mean, talk about being cut to the heart, right? If it's necessary, we should say, Lord, bring it. Blessed are those that are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And lastly, we must pray against the spirit of Islam. Folks, I've shown you tonight, I don't know how much more clear I can show you. This is the Antichrist spirit. This is a spirit that denies Christ in every vestige, in every verse of the Quran. Don't buy it. It's a deception from hell. And we are being sucked in. Pastors who are telling me, I'm not going to ever allow you to come into my church because you talk negatively about Islam. Pastor, how can I even share my testimony if I don't talk truthfully about Islam? And please take this message back. I will come. You can take the DVDs. You can get our message online. Get on radio. Get these videos. Get whatever it takes, folks. Let's get this message out. There is no common God. There is no common word. There is no Chris Long. There is no interfaith dialogue. We serve the true and living God. And our job is to be faithful to Him. Be obedient to Him. I want to stand before Him one day and hear those words that all of us want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be that church of Philadelphia that He says, even though you have little strength, you have not denied my name or my word. Church, that's what we need to be. There is great deception and there is persecution coming to the church in America. But we will stand, because why? God preserves a remnant. Amen? God always preserves a remnant of His people that are going to stand faithfully. And lastly, please stand with Israel. May we not, I mean, I'm telling you, the mass apostasy of churches against Israel is an epidemic. The more they embrace Islam, interestingly enough, the more they become against Israel. And I'm not talking about embracing Israeli foreign policy. I'm talking about praying for Israel and understanding the divine call of that nation, the covenant relationship that God had. I'm going to leave some resources, if it's okay. Do you guys need the screen? I was going to leave some resources that are on our website. I want to leave you with this verse. This is also in 1 John 2. If you didn't believe the first passage in 1 John, look at this one. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father. As for you, will you do me a favor? Will you raise your hand with me tonight? Please. Do you want to abide in Christ? Okay. As for us, abide in Him. Abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. We've heard the gospel from the beginning. The gospel has brought us into the kingdom. We will not compromise God's word. Amen? We will stand and defend our faith, even unto death if necessary. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Father, in the Son, and in the Father. Amen? These are the verses that we have, or the resources we have on our ministry, or on our website, I should say. If you want to reach out to Muslims, if you have a church that wants to be trained to reach out to Muslims, there are great resources out there. If you know Muslims you want to reach, on my website, I have a link to the a website called Muslim Journey to Hope. Great website with video testimonies from other Muslims, including a good friend of mine, Pastor Mark Loramini. If you want to support our ministry, as Heinz already said, we have information on the back table. I can't encourage you enough. Get this DVD of this presentation tonight that has more stuff on it, and get it into the hands of your church, your pastors, your leaders, your Bible study, your family, your friends. It's going to be critical. And if you want us to come and speak at another church, we'd be more than happy to. Heinz, thank you for letting me go a little longer. I do take 5 minutes, right? That little mic change, that cost me about 5 minutes in there, a couple of pit stops. So, but thank you guys for your time. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Shram. There's a lot of information he was trying to cover, and it may have sounded like it's coming from a fire hose, but I hope you caught much of it. We'll take time for two questions, just 5 minutes. But here for a minute. Yep. But while you're thinking of your question, I'm going to ask the three folks to come forward. We're going to take a free will offering for those who are interested in supporting this ministry. And so we'll do that while you think of your question. And I'll come to you with the mic if you have a question.
Okay. Is my mic still on? Oh, yeah, I'm still on. Okay, there we go.
So.
I thought I was off the hook. Thank you guys tonight for taking the time to train yourselves in the faith. Amen? And the next generation. I'm so excited to see young people here tonight. Of course, we're all young at heart, but.
Hi, yes. I just want to say thank you so much for everything that you've given today. The question that I have is, say, just for the sake of example, that we would take on face value that Allah just simply means Arabic for God.
Right.
Isn't that an irrelevant moot point? And would you not agree that there's no real difference between the Muslims who are changing who God and Christ is, and they're in the same exact camp as the missionaries for the Mormons, as the JWs knocking on your door, or anyone else who creates a different Jesus and a different God than the one named in the first and second commandments?
Yes, I would agree that spiritually speaking, that any source that is denying the true Christ, you could put into the category of an antichrist spirit. The question is Islam more than that? Is Islam a greater manifestation of evil? I'm not saying those aren't evil or wrong, but yet I don't see Mormons beheading people. You know, so again, I'm just saying that even though there's deception, even though they're an error, but yet for Islam, there is such a different manifestation. When you see the true face of Islam, it is as demonic and as evil as you can imagine. So in that sense, it is different, but yet, yes, if I was reaching out to a Mormon or a JW or a Muslim, of course I would want to bring correction. But the problem is when it's like with Muslims, the missionaries have taken this tactic now that, well, we're having such a hard time reaching them, which is not true. That's a false statement. Because one, in Iran today, and they're not doing it through a compromised gospel, because in Iran, the Iranians, the Persians, have rejected Islam. Because they've been under Islam for 34 years now, they've rejected it. 35 years. They've rejected it, meaning they've seen it face value, they know what it is, and they don't want it anymore. That's why in Iran, you have the lowest mosque attendance in the world at under 8%. So most young people in Iran have already rejected Islam. So when they hear the gospel, they're on fire. Some believe that the greatest revival is happening in Iran today. So the idea that these missionaries use as this tactic, that, well, because we're having a hard time reaching Muslims and seeing fruit, we got to take this tactic. That right now, right there, is the first misconception that they have, because many Muslims are coming to Christ with an uncompromised gospel. My friend, Pastor Mark Lori Amini, who has a satellite ministry, 46 million Muslims, watch his program 3 times a week. He's getting hundreds of calls a month. They're coming to Christ. No compromise. So their strategy is not really a strategy. It is a choice to compromise the Word of God. And maybe some do it out of good intent. Doesn't matter at the end of the day if they're preaching the wrong gospel. I mean, remember Paul said, even if they were preaching out of a false motive, but if they're preaching the true gospel, God can use that. But in this case, they're preaching a false gospel and with wrong motive if they're trying to do this. So that's where I would say is the difference there, is that it's like a greater manifestation of evil that we're seeing when you see the full face of Islam. Go for it.
Does it bother you like it does me when, especially on the news, you hear the term moderate Muslim?
Oh, yes, very much so. Specifically, it actually bothers me more when I hear the word peaceful Islam. Those two words together make my skin cringe. And I say this in my new presentation. There is no such thing as a moderate Muslim. Now, what I mean by that is this. There are Muslims who try to be moderate, but Islam itself cannot be moderate. Does that make sense? So if a Muslim is trying to be moderate, then by definition, they're not a good Muslim. That's why ISIS goes and kills Muslims. Because when they declare that this is the pure Islam, you as a Muslim who say no, will kill you too. Because they're not seen as a good Muslim. Same thing with the ideology of Islam. People say there's a peaceful Islam. No. Can there be a peaceful Muslim? Sure there can. A Muslim can decide to be peaceful because they don't know their ideology. They're not following their ideology. But there's no such thing as a peaceful Islam. Because Islam is there to dominate, and their definition of peace is that everyone must be submitted to Allah and His law, which is Sharia. So I hope that answers that question. Yes, it deeply bothers me, and I hear it all over the media. I'm hearing it in our churches now. We have to reach out to moderate Muslims, moderate Islam. There is no moderate Islam. It's either true or it's falsehood. It's like lukewarmness, same as the Bible. They're lukewarm Muslims, and they're going to be dealt with by their own people.
Okay, so we're going to bring this to a close. And again, Sharam, thank you very much for sharing.
Oh my
your
goodness,
heart
it is my
us.
Honor. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you for doing this.
So obviously there's a lot more information that we don't have time to cover here, but he does have a lot of on his table back there. Take advantage of that. There's some good stuff there. And look at the other exhibit tables as well. You know, there's books on defending your faith, on creation versus evolution, on Christian apologetics and biblical worldview. And that's why we do these forums, because we want to be able to defend what we believe. And Sharam has helped us to do that. So I'm going to bring this to a close. There's the tables. There's refreshments in the kitchen area there as well. And as you leave, you'll notice on the back window that there's a flyer, and that describes the next talk we're going to have here next month. and it's going to be by Spike Piceras, and it's going to be on debunking the Big Bang, why the Big Bang is not good science. So let me just bring this to a close in a word of prayer, and then you'll be dismissed. Father, we just thank you for Shahram Haidian and his ministry. You thank you that you saved him, that he's able to share the truth with us and with others around this country. And we just pray that you would use him mightily in his ministry. And with the information that we have been armed with, may we use that as well as we witness to our friends and neighbors. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.